morning. Lovely to see you all here this morning. Warm welcome to those of you who are joining us online as well. Let's just spend a few moments quietening ourselves down and focus on our loving Heavenly Father and Almighty God. In Psalm 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Let's just take a moment to clear our minds of the busyness of life. Father God, we welcome you here today. Please draw close to us and help us to put aside anything and everything that might prevent us from focusing solely on you. You're amazing. Your endless love for us is amazing. We pray for members of our congregation who aren't with us today, that you will strengthen them, heal them, encourage them as they seek you. We pray for the people in India as well, as we see on the news at the moment, and all those affected by the horrific train crash yesterday, that you'll comfort those that are mourning and bring healing to those that are ill and injured. Please provide the practical help and support needed at the time in that region. Oh Lord, just work through these events that people can be come to you, to know you, and for this region of Swallownest as well, that we can reach out to people. We thank you, Lord, for your great mercies and for your great blessings and everything that you give us day by day. Oh Lord, we thank you for loving us.
Good morning, everybody. Nice to see you all again this morning. Love another lovely morning to be together here worshipping the Lord. I do hope that you, the people that were watching on YouTube, are having a lovely morning as well so far. Davey's going to be speaking to us shortly, and we will be taking communion. So I do hope everyone goes home, or at the end of the service, everyone will feel blessed for our time together. A bit short on thin on the ground this morning, but it's the holiday season, isn't it? So people will be coming and going over the next few weeks. And as Suzanne already prayed, we just ask for a blessing on those who aren't with us this morning for whatever reason. So just a few notices for the coming week. Tomorrow, Monday, the ladies will be meeting down here at church at 1:30. On Tuesday, the art playgroup at 10 o'clock and again in the afternoon at 1. And in the evening, well, no, late afternoon, at Minimessie Church. It's the first of the month. It's come round very quick, isn't it? From 3:30 till 5. If anyone's available to help, that would be very much appreciated. Just for an hour and a half, please see Jan after the service if you're able to do that, please. No prayer walk again this week, so other things are happening instead. But we're having the lunch club on Thursday between 12 and 2. And on Saturday, it's the men's breakfast. That's at 8:30, if you can let. Are you hungry already, Tim? Looking forward to it. Please see Mark and Michael if you'd like to come, but you don't really have to book. You can just turn up. Sorry, ladies, it is just for the men, this one. Newsletters are out at the back. If anyone didn't pick one up last week, please take them for any family and friends that you think might be interested in them. And of course, the website and Facebook page are all regularly updated. But as I say every week, please do give us a call, get in touch with us if there's anything that you might need during this next week, and of course, any time. I found something on YouVersion a while ago, Sunday the 30th of April, to be precise. I would really encourage people to go on if they aren't already on YouVersion. Every morning they do a reflection, a verse, but they also do like little video things, so you can actually hear someone just talking for about 2 or 3 minutes about the scripture for that day. And I just thought it was perhaps really appropriate at the minute to share this, because it's all about the peace of God for anxious hearts. And what they actually say is, and it's very true, that there's a lot of anxiety and worry in the world around us. Many people are worried about the quality of their future, the security of their investments, or the threat of sickness or war. Thankfully, the war bit at the moment for us is not something that we particularly need to worry about, but for many people, it's their way of life, isn't it? Anxiety and worry isn't just something that happens around us, but it's something that happens within us. And I was probably right in saying that at some point in our lives, it touches everyone. A lot of people struggle with their anxiety over their future, their finances, their career, or their personal health. But Scripture tells us that while there are things that are within our control, most things in life are outside of control. So more often than not, we spend time worrying about things that we have no control over. It's worth a thought, that, isn't it? When we're getting anxious, can I sort this out? If the answer's no, well, I think we know what we need to do then, don't we? But Scripture tells us that trusting God should fill the gap between reality and what we desire. We should not be anxious about the things we can't control, but rather we should submit everything to God in prayer. He alone has control over the unknown. I know we know this already, don't we? But maybe sometimes it's good to be reminded. And this is why the writer of Psalm 4 says that he will lie down in peace at night, free from anxiety and worry. And even though the writer is surrounded by danger, he places his trust in God. That leads him to sleep peacefully and safely. So maybe we spend some time considering our own hearts. How are we anxious or filled with worry? To meditate on God's power and sovereignty. Maybe we should ask him to fill us with his peace and assurance that he is in control of our future, and continually remind ourselves of the promises that God has given us in Scripture, that he will never, ever leave us alone.
Well, good to be with you this morning. Next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at more about our core values, where we talk about knowing God, growing in Christ, overflowing in life. What does it look like? We've said that before. What does it mean to know God more? What does it mean to know God to start with? If for those of us that may be here or even at home, we can never assume that we know Christ fully, what does it mean to know God? What does it mean to know God through Christ as our Lord and Saviour? What does it mean to then grow in Christ? What does it mean to overflow in life when sometimes life seems to be beating you down? What does it mean to overflow in that? And that's what, over the next couple of weeks, both myself and Livy are going to journey through with... they're happy to be in there. Hopefully with added voices, testimony, sharing testimony, where people, first-hand experience, where they're knowing God, where they're growing in Christ, and where they're overflowing in life through the Spirit as well. So that's what we'll be doing over the next few weeks. We often speak about it, but there's an importance of knowing God. It's important that we know God as Christians, as followers of Christ, and growing in Christ, living that Spirit-filled life. And it links in with the vision and the missional parts of what we're doing in this church, in this community, where we see it through prayer, through pastoral, and through practicalities as well. So that's where we're going over the next few weeks, journeying through Scripture to better attain, if you like, an understanding of what God means to us, how we get to know him more, how we can grow in Christ, and how we can overflow in life through Holy Spirit. And like I say, we'll add voices of that. And today, like I say, I want to look at knowing God. How do we know God? Well, we can know God through multiple ways, of course, we know that. But in particular, prayer, through Scripture, his word, through obeying God's commands, and of course, through testimony also. And then Livy will lead us next week, something along the lines of growing in Christ, overflowing in life of Holy Spirit through faith, prayer, walking in obedience, fellowship, spiritual discipline, and again, testimony. Testimony is important because, yes, it's fine that we can stand here and we can talk, we can look in Scripture and hear that and see what it's saying. But when you've got that personal testimony where people are living and breathing this and they're able to share what God is doing in their lives here today, that's a huge difference from stories of hundreds, thousands of years ago. What is God doing in our lives today? Because God is very much alive today, is he not? Christ is risen. Is risen indeed. It's not just the one time a year we say it. We say it every day that Christ is risen and he lives within each and every one of us that truly believe and follow. I think it's fair to say, and I read this the other day, that God's mission is to bring liberation to the world, is it not? To set the captives free, as it says in his word. And as Jesus came and said, I have come not to be served, but to serve and to lead the captives free. This also is a way of being accomplished through people who walk in obedience with him. When we have that calling upon our lives, we're not to hold it within. It's not some treasure that we must just keep hold of and hoard ourselves, but to share with other people. And of course, there is where God isn't looking for people to work for him, but he seeks those that long to walk and work with him. He doesn't seek people to work for him. He seeks people that long to walk and work with him. Because it's, as we often say, it's a priesthood of all believers, every member ministry, that we're all accounted and we're all to be accountable for the light and the word that we have engraved in our hearts to go and to share that with others. Often without words. Often it's in our actions. Often it's in our character. That people naturally see Christ shining out and want to say, what is it that's different about you? There's something that's different. Why is it you're doing this? Why are you being so kind? There's then those small but very simple opportunities to share and say, it's because God loves you. Because Christ wants you to be free also. And this is the freedom that I have. This is the freedom that we live by. Where is it that we know God more? Where is it that we can seek that? Often we can seek it in the awe and wonder. Often we can see it in the beauty of nature. Just this last week, whilst on annual leave and going down a river in Lincolnshire, never seen so much wildlife in one spot, and particularly swans, which may sound an odd thing, but at each bend we turned going down this river, there was just lots of swans. And on one turn, I counted at least 17 in one spot. The point that I'm getting at is there was one particular swan. It seemed to be the same one. For miles upon miles, as each time it was getting closer, it would take off. And if you've seen swans take off from water base, they get the wings out, they start flapping, they lift themselves up, and they run on the water what seems like for ages as they're gaining momentum and flight and then take off. And this swan just kept going ahead for miles upon miles down this river. And all that kept coming back to me was God saying to me, I am the God that goes before. It was through that awe and wonder in nature and in wildlife that I saw that this is how I'm knowing that God is with me here in this time, in this moment. But through that swan, it was just saying to me that I am the God that goes before you. And it's often that we need to allow that to happen. To know that God goes before us, and it's not us that goes long and go, come on, God, where are you? Oh, he's in my box. I forgot. I better get him out and let him out. That's sometimes we do. But that we have a God that goes before. A God that goes before, behind, above, below, to our left, to our right, within, without, all around, an all-encompassing God. But to know that God is there. As Suzanne said this morning, be still and know that I am God in that verse 10 of Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God, it says. How often do we do that? How often do we see God in the awe and wonder of life? Despite the world falling apart out and about and around us, and certainly in other countries, as we've alluded to earlier about the wars that are ongoing. But yet, you often hear powerfully through testimonies, even in the most desperate situations, of how God is at work in these places. And so, as we seek God, as we look for that awe and for that wonder, what does it mean to truly know God today, here, and for now, as we've said? Well, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 1. You'll know these words very well. It's page 886 in the Pew Bibles. John chapter 1. I just want to read those first 18 verses. How do we get to know God? Who is God? Where is God? Page 886, if you're there, John chapter 1. It says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known.'" So when we look at that, and when we try to picture who God is and how we come to know God more, we can see straight away that we come to know God more through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ came to this earth, this is God, fully human yet fully divine. He chose to come this way so that his people may return to him. That all who will believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And so this is the way to come and to know God. Yes, we read of Old Testament times where God spoke through his people, through prophets, through chosen people like Abraham and Moses or Jonah, ordinary people, and some of which didn't want to do what God asked them to do, but in obedience did so because that's how they knew God. It was they who knew that God was speaking to them. But in many cases, it was only to them. And then people heard of God speaking because it was through them. But we stand this side of the cross. And we're able to commune with God through Jesus Christ, through power of the Holy Spirit living and interceding within us. This is how we come to know God more. And just so, in our passage today, we heard that Jesus was there in the beginning. He was the Word, and the Word was with God. No one had ever seen God, but only the Son, who himself is God and in closest relationship with Father. And yet he has made him known. So then there's that question, do you know God for yourselves? When we look back, and we can call on many others to see how we know God, it gives us an insight as to who he is and how we come to know him, how we come to know him more. It may be in dramatic ways that you've encountered God. It may be in the most simplest of ways. Again, you can go back and you can recount in the Old Testament, like Moses at the burning bush. That was quite a dramatic entrance for Moses to come into relationship with God. And yet it was there in that wilderness onto that promised land where the theologian Brueggemann states that Yahweh appeared abruptly to Moses at Horeb. And he says this, he says it's reassuring meeting that sets in motion the narrative of Exodus and the emancipation of the slaves and from that entire account of Israel's life with Yahweh. This is how God was made known to his people, where he then took out the slaves from Egypt and rescued them and took them eventually to the promised land. He goes on and says, Yahweh appears in the narrative fully identified and established. Fully identified and established. This is how his people knew God. And so through that, through the major events that occurred between the Old Testament times, New Testament times, as I say, we stand this side of the cross. We can fully come to understand and know who God is for ourselves. We can be in that perfect relationship with him through Jesus Christ, through Holy Spirit, through Father God. That Trinitarian relationship that often we talk about, but may not yet fully comprehend. No one comes to the Father, Jesus says, except through him. He who is fully human and yet fully God. As we say, the only way to know God is to know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. Our passage today reminds us of what Jesus taught and what he did is inseparable to who he is. That's why John shows Jesus as being fully human and fully God. Although Jesus took it upon himself in full humanity and lived as man, he never ceased to be eternal life. He never ceased to do what he called to be did. He was always eternal God who always existed, the creator and sustainer of all things, that source of eternal life. This is what it is to come and to know God. This truth about Jesus, this foundation of all truth, if you like, if we cannot or if we do not believe this, then it puts us in a sticky situation. Who is it then that we're following? Who is it then that we're believing in? If it's not in God through Jesus. That's why John wrote this eyewitness account. He was there, he witnessed it, he saw it. It was there to build faith and confidence in Christ so that we may believe that he is fully God here amongst us now and that we come to be part of that great mission of liberation for the world. In whatever way, in whatever part we play in that, of how God leads us into that. Again, that's important. If you read further on in John, in particular, say, chapter 6, John recalls Jesus responding to the question that asks, what must we do to do the works that God requires? And in response, Jesus simply says, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. What is more, Jesus goes on to say in chapter 14 in relation to his death that no one comes to the Father except through him. He says, if you really know me, then you will know my Father as well. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. There's that true revelation. Only 13 chapters back at the beginning here does he say in the end, no one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. But yet as you go forward, Jesus in his revelation says this, but now you have seen him, and now you know him. So what does it look like to know God? To walk in obedience, to live in a way worthy to the call of which we've been called, and to know God. And as we come to know God through prayer, through his word, through fellowship and through testimony, then we begin to see where he can use us in his mission of liberation. There then we can begin to set the captives free of this world in truth and in spirit, in the way that God leads us and calls us. But But first, we need to know him. Speaking of knowing him, I want to invite David Taylor to come up and share his testimony of how he comes to know God and where God has led him in his life. And continues to.
Hey, morning, church. Morning, church. Morning. No, good. You there? I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. And I used to puzzle over just that line there. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. How do you do that, Lord? How do you do that? How do you seek me? How do we seek you with all our hearts? And I had to work through that. But over the years, I've kept bits of paper all over the place. And I've been going through them recently. Because as people have spoken to me and said things, or as I've read something, I've written it down on a piece of paper. This, I believe, is what God said. And so I started putting things in a little book. Sue wanted it because it's a nice cover. But it's my book, and I wrote it down. I've written things in it that I think, for me, are important. Whilst I was going through some papers, I found this one, June 2004. And a lady, I'd written one or two notes, very small print, and a lady from Tunbridge Wells, I was in a service and she came and sat next to me. And as we were going through the service, she just turned to me and said, "You've got a powerful anointing. Don't you know it?" I was, "No. No, it's not something I know. I'm not something I recognize." Said, "You need to move on. God says you need to move on. There'll be a street ministry. And you were working with children." Well, I've had to make some notes, otherwise David said 10 minutes and it might go into an hour. Before 2004, this would be around about the 1990s, somebody had said something and that really concerned me, telling me, "You can't do that. It's impossible for you to do that." And a lady came to church, and I might have said this when I preached a few months ago. She came into church and she said, "I've got a word for you, and it's a strange word. What I will you to do, I will empower you to do." So although somebody had said to me, "You can't do that," God is saying to me, "You can do that, because I've given you what you need to do it." And then, just before this lady from Tunbridge Wells spoke to me, a lady in our congregation gave me a picture. And the picture that she'd drawn, not a very good picture, but it was a picture that she'd drawn, was of a flower. And the petals were falling off the flower. But behind that flower was coming another flower. And said, "God's saying that this ministry is coming to an end. But there's another one to follow it that you'll be involved in." Now, in August 2004, God clearly said to me, "Your role in the village, this role is coming to an end." And that role was pastoring the church. And I went to the next service and I told them this, and they said, three people stood up and said, That's very much like what God's told me to do. One really felt that he needed to go and support his wife, who was ministering in another church. Another, her husband, who would have nothing to do with church, had turned around that week and said, "I'd like to go to church, but I want to go to the Salvation Army." Well, we weren't Salvation Army. We were congregational, which is Baptist without the baptistry. And then another said, "My wife is so ill now, I need to spend more time. I need to spend time at home with her. And I feel that God's calling me to nurse her." So the church closed. The membership decided, if this is what God is saying, then we close the church. And we did. We closed the church. So, I was moving on. This is from what the lady in Tunbridge Wells said, move on. So I was moving on. And I came to Swaleness Baptist Church, where I spent quite a lot of time. And in August 2012, we were at a 90th birthday party, and I was looking after the handbags. Sue will never leave a handbag unattended. I was looking after the handbags while she went and filled a plate with food. And I was sitting in a corner, and I felt very strongly God say, "Church on the street." Wow. So there you are, street ministry. The lady from Tunbridge Wells, 8 years prior, said, "Street ministry." Something I never wanted to do. I didn't want to work on the streets. But the first day I was out on the street, God had proved that this is the right thing to do. I was met by a couple coming up the road, and the lady walking with a young man, and she just said to me, "Look after him, he's overdosed. He's just taken an overdose." Well, I knew the young man. He used to be at my school, and I used to have to look after him. He was a bit of a pain in the bum, put it mildly. And I had to look after him until the ambulance turned up. And whenever I meet him now, we're big buddies. But God was saying, "Church on the street. You've started." Now, on the 8th of December 2017, I was asked if I would ring a friend. She wanted prayer. She was frightened. She's had cancer. She thought cancer was, and it had been dealt with, but she thought it was on its way back. And we prayed. Then she prayed for me. And she said, she really felt God was saying that I would be involved in a different church. Not the traditional form, not the Swaleness Baptist Church or the Killamarsh Congregational Church or any church like that, but in rooms around the village. Now, a lot of this stuff, what was said there in that prayer, what the lady in Tunbridge Wells said, I'd forgotten about. But during the latter part of lockdown, I found myself praying, "Lord, I want to see a church on every street." And I felt that God had given me a vision for a church on every street. When I told this lady who'd prayed for me and prayed that previous prayer, the Holy Spirit just got hold of her. And to hear her laughing and so joyful over the fact that God had said to me, or I was praying this prayer, "Church on every street." So later, during May, last year, I began a small fellowship in a shop in the village. That has now moved on because the shop had to close. And we now meet in a bungalow, one of the old folks' bungalows, which is not far from me. And we meet with, I meet with three other people. And we talk about everyday things. And we always finish with a prayer. But then sometimes there's just that little, that little bit of conversation where it turns round to God, to Jesus. And I pray with one of the ladies that Sue and I have been praying with for a number of years now, and she says, when you pray with me, I go all warm. And I just say, well, yeah, God, it's not me that makes you all warm, it's God who just wants to get to know you, or wants you to get to know him. The last time I prayed, she just sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. I said, God's knocking on your door and you're not opening it. You wouldn't call that church, but I do. Most people who go to traditional churches wouldn't call that church, but I call it church. And I believe that this is the first church on the street. This is the first church in a small room in the village of Killamarsh. And maybe that's what God's calling us to do here in Swarnest. Church in a small room in Swarnest. That's what God's been doing. And all I've done is, when he's knocked, I've opened the door. When he's called me to move, I've moved. Thank you. Thanks, David.
I shall thank you, David, for sharing. And I come back to this point, how do we know God? It's like David's just been sharing. God has spoken to him so many times, as he said and as he shared. He used to be pastor of a church, and he sensed that God was saying it's time to move on. That's a big step. That's a big thing. A, to hear God saying that, and then B, to actually go and do it. But yet, it comes back to these points here. Through prayer, through reading the scriptures, as he has been doing, as he mentioned of one earlier, the plans I have to you to prosper you, not harm you. But it's about that point there, obeying God's commands. That's how we come to truly know God. In many other ways, of course, but that's an important one. Obeying God's commands, when God calls, when God knocks, as David says, do we want to answer? Do we want to open and let God in? And see what he has for us, see where he may want to take us, see what he wants to do with us and wants to share. If we're honest, quite often it's a no. Because we're scared. Because we're not sure what that future will hold or what God is actually wanting us to do, because we want to be in control of that. But it also comes back to that point we made earlier. Be still and know, as the psalmist says, and what God is saying to us, be still and know that I am God. To remain obedient, to know who he is, to allow him to talk into us and through us and with us. Often, and as what Carol was sharing earlier about the, what I'll say is anticipatory grief. If you remember back in early 2020, did a piece about that, and through recent studies through Harvard and other places, it talks about anticipatory grief in that sense of you worry about things that have not yet happened and may not even happen, but we worry about them. It's anticipatory grief. You're anticipating of what may or may not happen, and you grieve over it. But if often we take time to be still and to know who God is, the call that he has upon our life, to obey those commands. Not saying it's going to be easy. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying it's going to just be all honky-dory rainbows and unicorns and all the rest of it. I'm not saying that at all. Sometimes it may be a whole lot harder. But knowing that it is a God who goes before us, knowing that it is a God who has plans for us to prosper us and not harm us, may make us want to know God all that little bit more. For the plans that he has for us, for that liberation that he has brought upon us, for the setting of free in spirit and in truth, to be free from who we were and who we can be in and through him, through his Son and through Holy Spirit. There comes a difference. So, as we reflect over what's been said, as we reflect over for ourselves personally, who is God to us? How do we fully and truly know God in our own personal way? As we go forward together, how do we know God more? That will then lead us into growing in Christ and overflowing in life. What will that look like? And so a challenge, if you like, and part of it is if you want to look, and I can print copies if people need it. There's a series by the 24/7 Prayer Movement. They're the ones that did Unanswered Prayer. And they've done this one. It's called Be Still. And it's a five-session series, if you like. And part of it is to explore the simple, transformative practice of a daily quiet time with God. To come to know God more. To put into practice some spiritual practices of knowing who God is and knowing of him more. That wonder in daily life, increase your awareness of God. Remember, as one of it says in one of the sessions, it says, remember that filtered lives rob us of the beauty and wonder of God. Because often we live filtered lives through other things or through other people. So remember that filtered lives rob us of the beauty and wonder of God because it's a distorted view of life. Come to know God more through Jesus Christ. Come to know God as a God who rescues, the God who liberates, the God who has plans for each and every one of us, plans that will prosper us and not harm us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to know more of you. And yet here we have this wonderful opportunity to be able to do just that. We stand this side of the cross. We're able to know you personally. We're able to know and to see you because we see you in the fullness of Christ Jesus, who was the Word and is the Word, was there in the beginning and is there now and forevermore, and is championing in on for that eternal life. So, Father God, would you help us in our daily lives, on a daily basis, to know more and more of you? Not that we can puff ourselves up and boast in knowledge, in a proud, boastful way, but to know more of you so that we will grow in you and that we will overflow in and with you in for whatever way you would lead us. So that we too may be part of that liberating mission that you are constantly at work with. May we too be found within you. May we too long to walk with you and work with you. Because this is what you simply call us to do. So, Father God, may we be found in you. May you fill us. May you renew us and energize us. When you come knocking, when you come calling, may we step out in the boldness in the name of Jesus Christ and answer that call. Wherever and whenever it may come. But may it come. And may you be glorified in all that we do, in all that we say, as part of that liberating mission to reconcile all people to you. For your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we gather around the table, remembering that it's He who invites us, He who we've just spoken of and have sung of, Jesus Christ, our living hope, that there is salvation for all. That as we focus upon Him, upon the sacrifice that He made, and through that sacrifice, there is a forgiveness of sins once and for all. It's this remembrance that we are called back to time and time again, that we recall of what Jesus did for us. It wasn't just a story for the people there and for then. It wasn't just a story that He made up and shared in that upper room on that night that He was betrayed. It wasn't just a story that as He went out to the Garden of Gethsemane and say, "Not my will, Father, but yours." It was something that He actually did. It's something that He actually meant, in spirit and in truth. That He reminds us that on that night that He was betrayed, whilst they was in that upper room celebrating the Passover, He commissioned the new covenant. As they was feasting and enjoying themselves over the meal, He took the bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me." And in that same way, after supper, He took the cup, to which, if you know of the Passover, there are many drinks associated with that meal. But He took the cup and He said, "This is my blood, which is poured out for you. Drink in remembrance of me." And we're reminded that as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we do so in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ until He comes again. Until, as we remember, He recalls, as John accounts in that upper room, He said, "I will not eat of this bread and I will not drink of this vine again until I do so in heaven and new with you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, even after all these years, it may still be so hard to comprehend what you suffered, what you had to endure. The disciples could not believe their eyes nor their ears, even though you had said many times that this would happen, to actually see it for themselves and to be witnesses to it, Lord. The pain and the discomfort that was brought upon you. But yet, Lord, you took up that cross. And there you staggered on to Calvary. And Lord, all that was said was brought forth in truth. That as you was raised up, all your people will be drawn to you. And so, Lord, in this meal, may we remember of the great sacrifice at the great cost of our salvation. May we too remember as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, in remembrance of that calling to which you call us to. Lord, may we let all things go and come to you just as we are. May we too be found with you at table. Lord, we thank you for this great cost. We do this in remembrance of you. Amen. So I wonder with few whether we would come to table today. I know some of you can and will come to you, but for those that are able, would you come to the table and would you take and receive the bread and the wine for yourselves this day? Take the bread and eat it as you get it. Take a cup and then return back to your seat and we'll drink together as a sign of our unity. But come and take the bread and the wine this morning. And so as we hold this cup, from one cup it is poured out, and poured out for many. This is Jesus' blood. May we drink with thankful hearts and remember of that great sacrifice. Amen. Loving Lord, we thank you that we are found at your table, that we have been fed and we have been nourished, not only physically but spiritually as well. Lord, would you continue to pour out your Spirit upon us? May you continue to speak to us. May we continue to encounter you on a daily basis. Lord, may we be found in your company. May we walk humbly and graciously with you. We long to live for you. We long to live with you and work with you in that liberating mission that has been in motion since this world began. Lord, we just long to see you, long to hear you. And Lord, there'll be a day when you will return and all will be made new. For now, Lord, in the chaos of this world, we ask that you would bring your peace. You would maybe help us to understand all that is going on. Yes, we read in your word that these things take place, but it doesn't make it easy. We hear of tragedies on a daily basis. And Lord, often we may feel so helpless. But as we pray, as we lift our prayers, Lord, would you graciously hear them? As was mentioned this morning already, we think of all those lives lost in that tragic train crash in India. We think of the families that are grieving of their loss. Maybe still searching, still waiting for answers of loved ones. We talk of the ongoing wars and unsettlements in many countries. Lord, when will you bring about an end to these wars? When will your peace reign? Lord, we ask that you would speed that. Lord, we think closer to home. We think in our own country where we may feel safe and secure in terms of what's going on around the world. But yet, Lord, there are many people that are anxious also for many different reasons. Lord, would you bring about your peace upon our hearts? May you bring about change and settlement away from the unsettlement and the chaos of things that continue to happen. We think, Lord, of the government and all that's going on there. We pray that you would pave forward a path that would be followed, a path of peace and of righteousness. And Lord, we pray here, closer to home. Lord, there's so many people that are unwell at the moment. We pray your healing hand would be upon them. May they feel that warmth of you. May they encounter you, Lord. Would you bring about a healing in people's hearts? We pray for families that are grieving loss of loved ones. We pray for those that are in hospital or are due to go into hospital, Lord. Would you be with them? Would you be that comfort and peace that they need as they go forward? Would you be the God that goes before? Lord, may your light shine down. May your face shine upon us. And may you lead us on to glory everlasting. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Let us share the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Go well and go in peace. God bless.